Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Carly with the Blog Talk Network, and tonight we usually don't have a Monday show, but we have a Monday show, so we are here, and it's April 26th, 2021, and let me bring on my other host, Nadia.
Hi, Carly.
Oh, good. Okay, it worked. So, you can let everyone know who's tonight's guest if you want.
Sure. So tonight we have Kristen Alderson. She was on One Life to Live, and she was also on General Hospital as Kiki Jerome.
And
just remember, hold on. Oh. Huh?
Yep. And she was also on as Star Manning on One Life to Live right after One Life to Live got cancer. I mean, One Life to Live got cancer. They bought her over, Michael Easton over, Roger Howard playing Ron, Star, and Todd, you know. And then when Parson Park lost the deal, then they had to create new characters for all three of them. So, yes. And, yep, and hold on. Hi, you're on there. Hello? Okay. You know, I thought that might be her, you know, because sometimes they do come under block numbers, you know. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure, you know, it wasn't her. So, yeah, we are waiting on her.
Three, 4, 7, 8, 5, 0.
So,
8, 7, 2, 1.
Sorry.
What?
I just had to give Veronica the number.
Oh, it's on now. Okay. So, you guys, welcome Kristen Anderson to Daytime After Dark for the first time ever in my 11 years. Here we go.
Hello?
Hey, hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are
hi,
you?
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Good. I'm Carly, and she's Nadia. And so
hi.
I will ask a couple of questions, and then she will ask, and then the host and co-host will ask you a couple, and then if we have any fans, you know, calls, and if you don't mind taking them, then we, you know, that's how it usually goes. So,
awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've been trying to get you for 11 years. Yeah.
Have you? So, oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry that this is just now happening. I didn't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, all I can say is I'm just happy that it finally worked. And, you know, I know before I asked you, like, all the One Life and Love questions I want to know. So May 1st, you are doing this SoapCon thing, correct? SoapCon
yes.
Panel, right? Can you tell us yes. more about it?
So on May 1st, I am doing a panel for a One Life to Live video panel on Alan Locker's YouTube channel. So he has a YouTube channel called The Locker Room, and me and Cassie DePaiva, who played Blair Kramer, and Kelly Tognoni, who played Kelly Kramer, and then Laura, who played Cassie, she is going to be there. So it's four of us Kramer women, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll all get to reunite. I mean, I've seen Gina. I saw Gina 2 years ago. I just talked to Cassie a week ago. We were also promoting SoapCon happening. So that was great, you know, to catch up with her and FaceTime with her. But it'll just be great for the four of us to be together. I haven't seen Laura since I was super little. So that'll be really cool to see her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because she left. Yeah, she left for a while on One Life to Live. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and we just had your mom. Okay, not your real mom. I'm sorry. But we just had your mom from One Life to Live on 2 weeks ago, Nadia?
Okay, yes,
weeks
it was
ago.
Definitely 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so we have Cassie on? Yes. Mhm. And she is the sweetest person ever. And, that was also one of my dream guests to get. So, you know, maybe sometime you two can come back as the mother-daughter duo, because I think that would be really cool for the audience. I get these crazy ideas in my head, usually.
Hey, that's not a crazy idea. That's a great idea. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, see, you know, they, she said great things about you. And, you know, the casting for you to be Bill and Todd's daughter was right on the mark. It was right on the mark from day one. And I loved Star. I loved it that, you started at age 3, right? Or 4?
I started at age 6. I just looked 3 because I was so short, and I was about 4 or 5 years old, but I was actually 6. I was super short. I've always been really short and able to play a lot younger. So I think you're right. Like, I was playing about 4 years old, but no, I was actually 6.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were just that young because you seem that young, and later in life, that's really going to be good for you. You know, because the age group and, you know, everything. And then also, you know, you had so many great storylines on One Life to Live. So many funny but great storytelling, too, on One Life to Live. But one of my favorite is when you called a cab and you wanted to go see your dad or mom. I thought that was hilarious. Because you were like a little kid and you were like, okay, I'm calling a cab. And
I know.
I loved it.
The funniest thing was that, you know, Star lived in a suburb. So, at age like 7, she was just taking cabs to the Love Potion Lady, taking a cab to Reptile Roundup, taking a cab to Max's house, like just taking cabs everywhere. Before the age of Uber, Star really took advantage of cabs.
Well, that was one. I mean, you and Wazoo, especially back in the day, you guys had on-screen magic father-daughter moments. You guys were great. You guys were, you know, always in sync, you know, with everything, whether it was funny or you were getting yourself pregnant. And, you know, that's what I loved about One Life to Live. And also I can say about Zeno Hospital that they don't really recast the kids And then I really have to, because I was glad that they brought you into that teen storyline as you, not like a recast, because, you know, you were, you know, 15 or 16
right.
when that was done. So, I mean, a lot of people were, you know, and Trigger wasn't, you know, just starting out maybe then, but, you know, you would not have the reaction as a lot of people today. If it was on today and Star Manning got pregnant at 15 on One Life 11 today, Twitter feed would just be bombarding you because of the fact of, you know, Star got pregnant so young. And
yeah,
I didn't see, like, the biggest problem with it. I mean, you know, you and Cole, but I had Cole on the show, too. And I told him this. I mean, you guys were honestly each other's first love. And it wasn't anything, you know, it was beautiful. And I know a lot of people did not like the fact that, you know, you were so young, and they put the pregnancy storyline on you. And I'm like, okay, but in real life, this happens, people. Come on.
Well,
I
that's
mean,
the
it
thing.
Does.
Well, around then, Jamie Lynn Spears had become pregnant, and she was a teenager. And so I think that's kind of like what made One Life to Live do the storyline. One Life to Live would always try to pull from real life things that were happening and hot topics in the world and make a storyline out of that. And I think that it really hit home for a lot of viewers because people think that it'll never happen to their daughter or their granddaughter. But when they saw it happen to Star, they go, oh, wait, I better have a talk with my child because maybe they don't know, you know, safe sex. And maybe they do need to learn the birds and the bees, you know, and be taught that because a lot of people aren't taught it in schools and they do get pregnant and they don't know sort of like the circumstances that come along with getting pregnant at such a young age. So I think that it was great that One Life to Live did that along with doing the storyline. I mean, I was 16 at the time that we filmed it and Star was 16 at the time that she got pregnant. So that was cool that I was actually that age playing that. And then every Friday I wrote a blog with our publicist from One Life to Live just about my feelings even playing a pregnant teenager, yet alone actually if I were to be a pregnant teenager. And then a lot of the fans wrote in, and they were so sweet and told me their real-life stories of how they got pregnant when they were young and how difficult it was for them or how positive it was for them and how it made them grow up really quickly or, you know, how it taught them a lot of lessons. And it was a really huge bonding experience for me and for the audience and for parents to see that, you know, Star kind of felt like one of their children because they watched me grow up. So it made them speak to their children about it, you know, maybe like an uncomfortable talk to have with their kids, but they realized that they should once they saw this storyline. So I thought that it was a great message that, you know, the show put out there, and I was really just honored to be a part of it. And I was so grateful that Brandon Buddy was my co-star with that, and that it was really truly a love story. And yeah, it was just that's probably my favorite storyline that we ever did on the show.
Well, it was like you know, seeing Star grow up really fast. I mean, overnight you grew up for the audience, and I think it was a very important subject because most parents really do not want to have the sex talk with their kids. They really don't because they
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because once they think if they have the sex talk, it is that they are going to go out and do it because you told them about it, you know. And that's
right.
Something.
But in
some parents,
yeah. But in reality, it's like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying some parents though, you know, so did not get the sex talk from their parents. So it was like when they started having kids, it was like, oh, maybe we should talk about it and everything.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, well,
and
a lot
I
of kids, yeah, they don't know, like, what happens when you have sex. You know, like, if no one teaches them that, they don't know that you get pregnant and that it changes your life and that, you know, there's, like, a lot that comes with it.
Well, exactly. And, I just thought it was a very important storyline. I mean, luckily in my house we were talking about sex over the dinner table sometimes. And you know, my post, you know, at that point soon to be sister-in-law came in. Dad didn't have that growing up, and here we were talking so freely about it. Yeah, so, I mean, our family, this, you know, ran the gamut, and, you know, but some families don't have that, and I think that's
right.
One of the things that One Life to Live, you know, knew maybe this was the time to do something like that, and new character and Coach character were perfect because...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because... It was true love. It wasn't about, like, still getting raped or still, you know, anything horrible. It was like a beautiful
love story. Yeah, it was very innocent.
Story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, when Todd found out about you being pregnant, well, he really didn't take it well.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
You know what? Most fathers would not take that well. So that, you know, at the time, you know, was really, you know, great that they did.
Life.
And also, your best friend on the show, Brittany, who has not made an appearance on my show in 2 years, which I'm really disappointed.
I'm sure she would love to.
I know. So whenever you guys keep in touch, right? Because
yeah,
I've
we were just
pictures.
Talking last night. She's been swamped. She's so busy. She just directed her first movie, so she's been so busy.
Okay, well, tell her when she's done with the movie and she wants it promoted, that, you know, come on. You know, the show, and we will be more than happy to promote it with Boho because I love her. I think she's great. I thought
aww.
You two as best friends were great. And then when Dorian adopted her, I believe, I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, you guys kind of became sisters, kind of, you know. And
right.
I just love that, you know. Even though she's not blood related, as a Kramer woman, you know, she was because Dorian took her in. And, you know, that was another great storyline that they did for a lot of people, I think. And, I mean, the whole time you were on One Life to Live, everyone never dreamed it would go off the air. No one dreamed of
right.
this. I mean,
no way.
April Thursday, the announcement came, and everyone thought it was, like, the biggest joke in America. And I, too, even though I have my radio, they're starting my radio, so I'm like, okay, wait a moment. Two soaps going down on one day, and then a year previous, as the returns and Guardian Line Base did the same announcement on April Thursday. And that was true. And I'm like, okay, come on. You cannot make two soaps go away on April Fool's Day. And, yep, as soon as it was on Entertainment Tonight, I knew we were screwed. So,
yeah, it was crazy.
You know,
so sad.
But then you went over to Zeno Hospital, and you were playing stuff for, you know, about a year, right? Or less than a year. How long were you playing Star over on D8?
Yeah, I was playing Star for a year.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when the baby died, when Hope died, oh my God, I cried. I cried.
Oh.
I really, really cried. It was really sad. It was horrible. But it was another range of emotion for you to do that. And you did it brilliantly. You truly got that.
Thank you.
You know, the Emmy that you doing was like, I'm mad at it. I'm still mad at the Emmy people over so many things. But then, so they news is bald, you get a phone call, and you tell Michael, I have to go back to, I almost said Pine Valley, but...
to Landview.
Landview, some family emergency, but you would not be able to talk to him ever again or something. And then about, I'd say a couple of weeks later, or maybe a month, you turned up as Kicking Zoom on General Hospital.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I was playing Kiki because here you were. You were playing Stone Manning from us growing up. And then they threw this new character at you because legally-wise, they had to do that.
Yeah, it was honestly really difficult. Yeah, it was really difficult to be a new character. I mean, at first it was really exciting and fun, and I kind of always wanted to dye my hair brown. So it was a good excuse to do that. But... And I don't know if I ever would have unless, you know, I had to do it for a role. So that was really exciting. But it was definitely difficult because I think the fans, they wanted me to be back on the show, but they really wanted me to be star. At the end of the day, the fans know me and care about me as star. So I think that even the director struggled with, they wanted me to be different. Some directors wanted me to be just like Star. Some directors wanted me to be the same as Star. So we kind of like struggled back and forth with who is she? Is she super different or is she similar? So I think as time went on, you know, Kiki was super different in the beginning from Star. And then as she went on, she was more similar to Star because that's kind of what worked and what the fans wanted to see me as. But then when it came to re-signing a contract, I mean, I was kind of scared to signing 3 more years because my mom and brother had just moved back to Philadelphia. I didn't know if I was going to want to be out there for 3 more years. So I didn't re-sign. And I also said to them, I was like, look, I can never walk away from being Star Manning, but I think someone else can play Kiki, you know, just fine. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll be great at making Kiki their own. You know, obviously, like, I would never want anyone else to play Star, but for someone else to play Kiki, I felt like that could totally work. And Haley Aaron just did such an awesome job coming in and being Kiki and making the character her own. And yeah,
I mean, that's why, you know, I was so used to you. So when they brought the Kiki character in for you, it really didn't mess with me because, you know, you were stuck for so many years. And, you know, I get about not wanting to be fine, you know, not, you know, this part, I totally get your decision. And I wanted to ask you before I let Nadia on, how is your brother doing? Because I know he went through having cancer, right?
He did. He had stage 4 lymphoma, and he was diagnosed at age, 21? Or 22, and that was obviously, like, a super hard time for my family and I. Same time, you know, he got sent so much love and support, and we just tried to, I know it sounds weird, but just, like, make the best out of it, and we were like, look, like, this, we could either cry about it all day long, or we could try to like make the best out of the situation. And every time I went in with Eddie to get chemo, like we would just watch comedies and watch Family Guy and giggle and like just try to, you know, make it a different experience, you know, like not make it so somber. And I really do think because of how positive we kind of kept it, that really helped with his recovery. And he had a really like tough struggle, you know, with different medicines not working, and a lot of different things didn't work. And luckily he found something that did work, which was Keytruda. So if anyone is going through cancer, I mean, usually that's for lung cancer, but it worked for lymphoma in his case. So I highly recommend that to anyone who's going through it. It's kind of like and that's a drug that's new, that's less than 10 years old. So thank God, you know, they got him on that, and now he's been cancer-free for years. So we're very, very grateful, and today we just celebrated another clean scan of his. So we're just,
thank God.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Thank you. So, I mean, it just made my family and I stronger, honestly, by the end of it. You know, like, it's the hardest thing you can go through, and it just really made us stronger, and I'm so proud of him, and he just kept such a positive attitude, and his saying was, no surrender, and I think that, you know, he really, no surrender, he kept to that, so.
Yeah, and please tell your brother anytime he wants to come on, he's welcome to, because I was a big fan of his when he was on One Life to Live. And, you know, you guys sometimes got in scenes, but I always thought, oh, my gosh, because you guys were like a year or two apart. I'm like, okay, they only can be friends, people. They can never.
I know.
because they're seriously my best friend. Growing up, wanting you two together because he didn't realize you two were brother and sister in real life.
I'm like,
no, they can't. No, that would be sick and wrong. And they go, why? Because they are brother and sister in real life, and then we're going to have a real soap opera on our hands, really. So, yeah, and I know Nadia had some questions for you, right, Nadia?
Yes. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Nadia.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Hanging in there.
Good.
Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. I'm happy to be here.
It's great having you.
Yay.
So I see that you like Broadway. Is that correct?
I do. Yes.
Yay. Me too. So what is your favorite Broadway musical that you've seen? And if you have been in one, which one have you been in? Or have you been in any Broadway musicals?
Oh, man. Well, my first job ever was playing Molly in Annie on Broadway. I did that for 6 months, and then I did it on tour for 6 months, and then I came home and did One Life to Live. So that was like my first job. But that was when I was, 6 years old. So that was a very long time ago. And then I did, The Marvelous Wonderettes, which is an off Broadway show. And it was just me and three other girls. And we sang like 50s and 60s songs, and it was like a jukebox musical, so all songs that people would know of, and they have like a storyline around it. And it was so cute and so fun. It was a comedy, and it was exhausting, though, because it was a two-hour show and we never left the stage. So it was a lot, but just an amazing experience. And that was from like 2018 to 2019. So that was really cool. But definitely my favorite musical is Hamilton. which is probably the answer that most people give, but I became obsessed with it over quarantine because, you know, it was on Disney Plus and I had never seen it in person, actually, even though, you know, I know Renee Goldsberry and Jonathan Groff. I just never got a chance to see it on Broadway. And it is just the most incredible show ever. I listen to the soundtrack all the time. And I annoy my family constantly singing it around the house. So definitely that. And then another one, which I've never seen the show, but I got really into the soundtrack, is Hadestown. Have you ever seen it or heard or listened to it?
I've heard of it, but I will be seeing it. Because it's in my, it's on the Broadway package. Because I'm from Boston, so I go to the Broadway shows. Like, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a subscriber, so they put like different shows, like 5 shows a year. So, but since like a lot of them got canceled because of COVID, so they moved them. So my first show in November is Hadestown.
And it's touring, or is it on TV?
It's touring. No, it's touring.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Yep. That's, I mean, oh my gosh, I would love to see that show live. But I mean, I guess I would wait, obviously, like, if you're going to see it in person, then wait to see it in person. But,
exactly.
I just listened to it. We got a mountain house in September of 2019. And when I was driving there one time, I just listened to the soundtrack, and you can really follow along with the musical kind of like you can in Hamilton. With the music alone, you don't really need to see what's going on to know what's going on. And and it was just really fun to listen to it in the car and have that experience. But so I listened to that soundtrack a lot too, just because, you know, of that. But yeah, that's a great show as well. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Yeah, that's
it's
my
great
first,
it's great
first one to see this year coming up. I'm like, wow, because of COVID, so a lot of them, like, I was supposed to see Donna Summer's musical, but they canceled and they put something else in place of it. Frozen, I think they canceled their Broadway tour and touring altogether, so they replaced that with one of them. Yeah, so there was a lot of replacing, and that's funny that you mentioned Hadestown, because that is the very first one that I'm going to see.
Well, there you go. Now, you know, now you don't have to worry about it being, it's a great show, so you'll like it. The music's great alone, so I'm sure it's going to be great.
Oh, awesome. I'm excited.
Good.
So you are also on General Hospital as Kiki Jerome. So on General Hospital, who did you work mostly with on the show when you were there?
Who did I work the closest with there?
Yeah, like mostly. Like, who did you work with a lot there?
Definitely Chad Duhl. So Chad and I worked together almost every single day that I worked there. He and I just had a blast working there. I mean, the first year that I was there, we were just like instant best friends. We hung out all the time in the dressing room together. We would make before TikTok and before kind of short videos were a thing, before even Vines, I mean, we were making short little videos on my iPad in the dressing room just to pass the time, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there is a lot of downtime. You can rehearse at 7 a.m. and then not be back up until 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's a lot of time to kind of sit around. And luckily him and I had each other to hang out with and to run lines with, but then you can only run lines so much. You're like, okay, I think we know the lines. So we would just make funny videos, and we had the same sense of humor. So, oh my gosh, on my old iPad, we like used the whole memory up just making videos. And I have so many. I mean, I uploaded some of them to my YouTube channel, which is called like Peace, Love, Happy with an I. and years ago. But then, I mean, I have still thousands on my iPad that never got uploaded. But we had so much fun working together, and he's so talented. And yeah, so like I said, like the first year that we worked together, we were best friends, and then we started dating, and like, so that was just fun to work with someone that, you know, you're in a relationship with. But
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he was great.
That's awesome.
And then I worked with Mara West, and obviously like Roger still, and Cassie came on to do some things. And I mean, everyone that I worked, I got to work with Maurice Bernard, and I was so starstruck when I met him. And then instantly he was just so humble and down to earth and welcoming that, like, you know, he was a dream to work with, and so professional and just obviously super talented. And so I really got spoiled with actors over there.
That's awesome. Now,
yeah.
Do you still watch General Hospital or not as much as you used to?
I don't. No, I don't really watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because
it's
getting good.
Is it? Oh, good, good.
Yep.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, I don't get a chance to watch it. I watched some of the Nurses Ball last year to see how they did that with COVID, and they did such a great job with it. And I miss doing the Nurses Ball.
Yeah, I thought it was fabulous. They always do a good job.
Yeah, so Paul Glass, who is the musical director One Life to Live at General Hospital, he used to be the musical director at One Life to Live. He was one of the people that came over with us to the show, and that was so special to me because him and I just bonded so much over doing all of the One Life to Live musicals together. So I'm so glad that he's able to, you know, show his talents every year at the Nurses Ball. And to be able to do that, you know, I mean, obviously he does an amazing job at the music year round on General Hospital, but then to be able to do musical like things is like a huge passion of his. So that's really, it's great to see.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so when you were on General Hospital, did you have like a favorite scene that you did?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think like one of them was the Nurses Ball when I did Raise Your Glass. That was just really fun to be able to perform. It was just such a like a great, crazy fun day. And then I loved, honestly, like my first week at General Hospital, it was so surreal. I've always been a fan of General Hospital. I always wanted to be on the show at some point. So just to be on it and to have such a heavy, I mean, I came on and worked that whole, I mean, it was like 2 weeks where I worked every single day, nonstop hours, and it was a lot, but at the same time, like, I love being busy. So it was just so cool to be working constantly and with amazing actors and for such like an intense storyline. So I think, you know, the initial storyline where, unfortunately, like, Cole and Hope passed away, even though I still believe that they're alive somewhere out there, I did love that, all the drama of it and, you know, how intense the scenes were, and I thought that was really neat.
Cool. Do you ever want to come back to General Hospital?
I do. I mean, unfortunately, I've asked and I've told them, like, I would love to come back a million times. And I know that Frank Valentini, the executive producer, really does want to have me back at some point. But it's obviously really hard when Roger's playing a different character. And and we almost had a chance there. It seems like we almost had a chance for him to be Todd. And I don't think that that's happening now, so that's really disappointing. ABC just doesn't seem to want the Mannings back for some reason. And, you know, that's, like, I mean. So, yes, the answer is I would love to come back. Yes, it's just I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
I know. I hope so.
I know. Me too. Me
that
too.
That was great. Yeah, because I think Roger, I think, I don't know, but I have a feeling that he might come back as Drew.
Yeah,
I mean,
he will. And honestly, I have no idea. I mean, I'm as in the dark as anyone else is. I was really excited because I thought, well, why would they be having him leave if he's not going to come back as Todd? Like, Todd is the obvious great choice for it. But then ABC, I guess, passed, which every soap person has a bad pass, it seems. They said that they didn't want to have him on because of that. And so that's, I guess, our answer. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, so I guess we just have to wait and see who he comes back as.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I wish I knew, and I wish it were the answer I was hoping for.
Yeah, exactly, because then you probably thought that, oh, maybe they'll bring me back.
Oh, if Todd is in, Star is in, you know, like, so I was hoping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, I also, like, I look at life as, like, things are meant to happen when they're supposed to happen, and some doors close because they're not supposed to open, and it would be difficult for me to, you know, travel back and forth, you know, to still see family and to be present, you know, with my life here and to have my career out there. But at the same time, like, I mean, I loved what I did, and I would totally make that sacrifice and make it work if that were to happen. I guess it's just not meant to happen.
So I have one more question, and my question for the last question is going to be, what is your greatest strength as an actor?
Oh, my gosh. I guess I just pat myself on the back. My greatest strength, I would say, is to be in the moment. I feel like I love to react off of what people give me in the moment, and I don't ever pre-plan things. I mean, I kind of have an idea as to how I would feel as the character going into it and what I'm going to say, but I love getting in the middle of a scene and not knowing what the other actor is going to do and reacting as the scene goes on. So what's great about soaps is that it's not like prime time or a movie where you have to do 50 takes and they all have to be the same because, you know, they get like different coverage of people. With soaps, it's kind of like theater. They're kind of capturing whatever they get at that moment. And I love that. I thrive on that. I love that. Like, I don't know. I think that that's, I guess that that would be my greatest strength is just being open to whatever happens and going with the flow and just reacting in the moment, because that's when it feels like real life to me, and that's when it's my favorite to be in the scene, is where it blurs the line between my real life and the fake life.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. It was great talking to you.
It was great talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm going to pass you back over to Carly.
Okay.
All right, Carly.
Now we are going to 603, you're on the air. 603, do you have a question for Kristen? Okay. Maybe we leave this one be silent. That's fine. 979, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Kristen. Hi. I'm a big fan of yours. I love watching you on One Life to Live.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in.
You're a great actress and a great singer, too.
Oh, thank you so much. What's your name?
My name is Delia Romo.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I can't believe I get to talk to you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm just, I'm glad that I'm able to chat with you and with the girls tonight. And how's your night going? How's your Monday?
It's going pretty good.
Oh, good. Do you have a question or anything?
Where do you live? Do you live in New York?
No, actually, I live in Philadelphia. So I'm in Pennsylvania, and I live with my family. And, yes, I visit New York all the time. So I'm back. I mean, I haven't because of COVID. But usually I'm back and forth to New York as often as I can be. And then, but I live with my family now here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I'm from Texas.
Oh, Texas. All right. Nice.
How's your
That's all. Where in Texas?
A real small town called Eagle
Lake. Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And how's your brother doing?
My brother's doing so well, thank God. He got a clean bill of health again today. So, knock on wood, everything's looking good.
Oh, that's good. I've been praying for him.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
You're welcome. And I follow you on your page. Is that your mom that has the page for you?
So, the Facebook page?
Yes.
Actually, it's run by Dottie Huckle, who is a fan of mine who I've known for years. And so she runs the page, and then I can sometimes log on there to change up different things. But mostly Dottie runs that page, and I think she does such a great job. Thank you for following that page.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yes, she does a really great job.
Oh, thank you. Yes, she really does. I'll tell her that you said that. I think she was listening in tonight, so she'll be so happy to hear that. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
And I will put you back on hold, and then we can go to okay, 813. Wait, did we just do 813?
Hi.
I'm not sure.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Irishkin. Hi, how are you?
I'm
doing great. I'm doing great. What's your name?
I'm Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great to hear from you.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Mom, I actually met you a big garden one. Listen, Maggie is ill. She's gastrically ill, and we're waiting to go to the Mayo Clinic. But she's a huge fan, and she just loved you since you were little. Maggie's 32, so she has seen you grown up on TV.
And I've met Maggie before, haven't I?
No, I saw you at Busch Gardens. I yelled your name, and you were like, shh. It was years ago during Halloween.
Oh, my God.
And
oh.
I was very admirative myself. But anyway, Maggie just is a huge fan, so she's just listening to your radio show.
Oh,
and she
Maggie,
is ill,
thank you so much.
But she's on her way, hopefully, to recovery.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'll be praying for you, Maggie.
Okay. Thank you. I thank you.
Oh, sending you so much love, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you for calling. So, okay. So, 6:30, you're on air. With us? Okay. They remain silent. Okay, Bobby. Bobby, you're on air with us.
Hey, Kristen. I've been a big fan of yours since One Life to Live.
Thank you, Bobby. Hi.
Hey. I used to think that whenever you One Life to Live would do the animated star version, I would think that you would be more comparison to Hilary Duff, who was doing Lizzie McGuire at the time. I used to call you One Life to Live's answer to Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that. I loved Lizzie McGuire growing up.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever met Hilary before or anything like that, but see,
I haven't met her. I would love to meet her, though.
Yeah, because basically you two worked for ABC Disney at one time. So it would have been, great to meet her at the Emmys and stuff like that. But anyways, I wanted to go to the Super Soap event when they had them run in Florida, but couldn't afford the money or the hotel arrangements for somewhere like that. And Disney wasn't as expensive as it is now.
I know. I loved it. I loved Super Soap Weekend. So you never got a chance to go?
Well, I live in North Carolina. I would have done that, but I ended up coming close to actually going to New York. But I was actually in New Jersey for a wedding in 2007. I thought if I go to New York, maybe I can just go to the set of ABC and just see if Kirsten Allison or somebody from One Life Live would like to have lunch at one of the restaurants in New York. But I never done that because there was a cab strike at the time, and I was I also was gambling in Atlantic City in 2004, so I didn't have a chance. But this was years ago. But I was kind of thinking that I would think that you should have been. You should have remained as Kiki on General Hospital the whole time because you missed a good chance of getting another Daytime Emmy nomination with the Me Too storyline that Haley got.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I know. I mean, I wish I could have stayed as Kiki like another year, but at the time they weren't signing only year contracts. They were doing 3 years or nothing. And that was just really scary for me to sign up for when my family had just moved back home. And I had also been doing it for 18 years. So just the timing and everything, unfortunately, didn't work out. And I ended up moving home only 9 months after I made that decision. So it was a good, it was kind of a good decision. But yeah, I mean, Haley did end up getting wonderful storyline, and I was super happy for her. And she's just so, so sweet and fun and I was really, I couldn't ask for a better actress to pass the baton to.
Yeah. And she's expecting to have a baby, and expecting to have twins soon. So.
I know. I can't even believe it. It's, I mean, now she's married. She has twins. I mean, she's, yeah, amazing.
And I think Chad made a big mistake by giving up you for Courtney Hope. But at the same time, I'm happy for Chad and Courtney getting married because I know that both of them have done a great job on both General Hospital and Young and Restless, respectively. Because I was hoping they would age Faith on Young and Restless and bring you in, but that never happened. Now I'm just hoping that Roger come back as Todd, Kathy can make a trip out there as Blair, and you can come back as Star on General Hospital.
Oh, I know. We were talking about that before. We hope that that'll happen, too. I mean, I don't know if it will, just because rumors say that, you know, that ABC won't have Todd back. I mean, hopefully it's not a true rumor. I mean, yeah, we would, Kathy and I would love to come back. That would be really fun.
Yeah. And whoever Roger be, I'd love to see him get hooked up with Elizabeth, with Liz, because she definitely, because the way that happened with Franco, with the way he got killed off might be a little bit different with if bring Roger back or somebody else to pair with Rebecca.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, even if he did come back as Todd, that they would, you know, maybe be able to do that. And they did have great chemistry together and worked so well together. So that's
yeah.
Nice that you liked them together so much.
Yeah. And, I mean, I just wrote to Rebecca just yesterday, and the last thing I said is I can't imagine the Blair and Liz fights that's going to happen over Todd.
Oh, that would be funny. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, but I would like to say if there's any soap other than General Hospital asked back, which one would be out of the three remaining soaps?
What was that question again? I'm sorry.
If there was a soap other than General Hospital that would ask you back, which one of the three remaining soaps would you be interested in coming back to?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, like, I love soaps. I would love to come back to any of them. I mean, my mom grew up being a huge Young and the Restless fan, so Young and the Restless would be so cool. Like, Eric Braeden, I'm just the biggest Eric Braeden fan, and Christian LeBlanc is a good friend of mine, and Michelle Stafford's over there. There's so many people that I and Melissa Claire Egan. I mean, the list goes on and on of the people that
right.
I love that work there.
Elizabeth Henson and Melissa Craig worked across the hall from me when they were on All My Children back in the day. And
right.
Michelle Stafford, well, Melissa Craig and Elizabeth Henson both worked across the hall when they were on All My Children together, and you would find one like Flip back in the day.
Yeah, and she's such a sweetheart, too. I mean, it would be so much fun to work with, oh, my gosh, all of them. Like, I'm just, I've always thought that that show was really awesome. And and so just especially, and it films next door to Price is Right, which is my mom's all-time favorite show. So that would, it would just be really surreal to be able to film in a studio where you can, like, see the famous Price is Right wheel every once in a while backstage. Yeah.
And besides, you owe Honey King two Emmys that you lost out to her anyways. That you lost back on the years you got nominated that she won over you.
Hunter?
Yeah, Honey King, because she won two Emmys back-to-back
she
the
did.
Same years that you was nominated. And
I know.
So I think you owe her another Emmy.
Oh, yeah, I love Hunter, too. She's so awesome, obviously so talented.
Like I said, you missed a good chance with the Faith recast to possibly join the show, but you also missed a good chance to maybe possibly being Claire on Days of Our Lives. I mean, there were so many other opportunities that came and went, but hopefully one day they might find you on Bowling Beautiful if they ever recast Hope.
That would be cool too. And I love, you know, I love Scott Clifton. Scott Clifton and I used to work together at One Life to Live, and so it would be really cool to work with him again.
Right, because I've seen some of the Super Soap and Fun of the Sun spots that you guys would do on ABC Daytime back in the day, and you two had fun together. So it would be great to work together. But I'll let you go, and I think we have another caller, and you have a good night.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
All right. And,
okay, Bobby.
And
I will
talk to you later.
You.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
So then we have our last call, and our other host, Veronica. Hey, B.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. Hi, Kristen. My name is Veronica Robles. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. How are you guys this evening?
Doing great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say, I'm a huge fan of your work on One Life to Live and GH. Definitely, you did an amazing job on both shows, very, very much. And I'm a huge fan of your work, and definitely, I'm just... I seeing your character start growing, growing up and all that, definitely, did you had to deal with so much, the storylines and stuff? How did you deal with all the storylines, of your character?
Oh, thanks. It's funny, I was just telling a friend this, but a lot of the time I would have really emotional storylines.
Yeah.
And it would be like sobbing and just super, super sad. And at age 18 or 19, like, I've always been a very like bubbly, upbeat, happy person. So it was kind of tough to get to that place. And also then to snap out of that place when I was done, like, I would always be cut. And then I would want to go back to being laughy and jokey because that's just how I am. But it wasn't always easy to do that. So sometimes there was a song by The Killers. Actually, Brandon Flowers. So I loved the band The Killers. And then their lead singer, Brandon Flowers, went off and had his own. And it was called Only the Young was the song. And after my really emotional scenes, I would just kind of sit in my dressing room with the lights off and just, like, listen to that song in my earphones. And it just kind of brought me back to me, and like it went from being kind of like a somber song to like a very uplifting song, and by the end of the song I would feel like me again, and I was like, all right, okay, time to be Kristen, like time to
did an amazing job on both shows.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
And also my other question is, do you ever think about directing or producing or producing, directing one day? Is that like in your
That's a great question. My best friend Brittany Underwood just directed her first movie, and
that's awesome.
Who played Langston? Yeah, I know. I'm so proud of her. I mean, she's the hardest working person that I know. And I was just blown away by all of the work she told me that went into directing. I always thought, like, hey, maybe I'd be able to direct. You see a lot of it on soaps, and you see how it works and everything. But you have no idea what goes into it. I mean, I even had no idea all the work that went into it. And it was just, I mean, so much work. So, such a difficult job. And yes and no. I mean, yes, it would be cool. And I think I love the idea of it. But then once Brittany was telling me the logistics and how difficult it was and all of the things that went into it, I was like, maybe I'd stay on the acting side of things.
Well, you would do great. I think,
you would
do great. And I would like for you guys to get to work together again on a movie or like Christmas, because, I love Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I hope so, too. I mean, now that she's directing, I know that we really do want to, work together soon. And I would love to be in a movie that she directs. I mean, that's kind of like the goal that we're shooting for. So that would just be to star in a movie together that she can also direct.
You guys will do great, and definitely in Christmas and the holidays. And I'm so glad your brother's doing better. Thank you, God.
I'm so glad that
your brother's doing okay. And definitely congratulations on everything. Continued success. And definitely we miss you on daytime, but we're looking forward to whatever you're working on next. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, Kristen, and please come back.
Oh, my gosh, and thank you so much for listening in and for talking to me. This is so nice.
Of course, and definitely you have a wonderful and great evening. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
I will put you on hold. Kristen, please follow me. On Trudeau Daytime 6976. And, whenever you have a new project, I'm not Nadia, and I know I'm following Nadia, right, Nadia? Because you do the booking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my Twitter at my first _ my last name, Potenza.
Yeah, and so
perfect.
We thank you for coming on, and please come back anytime, and tell your brother and Brittany to come whenever they want. We would love to have them. And we will remind everyone on May 1st with that subcon that you will be on there.
Oh, thank you. And I will definitely I'll definitely do that. And thank you so much. Tonight was so nice, and I really appreciate all the sweet words that you guys had to say, and just to be able to talk to the fans again, and it was a great time. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. Okay, have a great night.
All right, have a great night, guys. Good night.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
Okay, so now I am bringing on Bobby and Veronica.
Hi, you guys.
Hey,
wonderful
guys.
Show. Thank you so much, Carly and Nadia. You guys did great. Awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah. And, it was a really,
I
really good interview.
Back in the day. I think
even though it was
question.
A Monday, it was a Monday, and what got me upset was it was a Monday, so I thought if I had a Monday interview, I would have loved at the moment for the rain in Seattle, because Karen Carpenter, the Carpenter song, Rainy Day and Sunday, you know, I love that song, or Mondays or whatever. I love that song. It just keeps repeating in my head lately. Don't ask me why. And Nadia, who do we have coming up?
So for tomorrow, we have Lori Berkner.
Oh, cool.
She is a French music artist. She writes children's music. She's really
what
good.
What time is that interview?
That is going to be at 8 o'clock our time, Bobby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And do we have anyone on Wednesday?
Nope, but on Thursday the 29th, we have John McDonough.
And then Friday morning, 11 p.m., 11 a.m. West Coast, we have Mark Cavicoli. Oh, my God. I'm going to butcher his name. He played Mike on at the Bertoons. Very cute, very hearty.
Mm-hmm.
So we have him because he's part of the soap con thing. Hold on, we have another call. Hold on. 813,
okay.
You on the air? 813? Okay, well.
They
just
probably just
want to
listen.
Okay, so, well, I never know, so there. And, we have a great list of people coming up. And I did want to say, last night, I bought the Country Music Awards, finally, and I just have three little complaints about it. Carly Sue won for Best Women in Country it was Carly Pence's deal. I love the performance with Carly and Lee. I hope you're happy now. It was amazing. I love that Lady A did a great job. I love that Luke Bryan, even though he, couldn't be there, but he won Entertainer of the Year. My Luke won Entertainer of the Year. Yay. And I love that Blake Sutton, sang Austin from 20 years ago, his first number one. And I love that song. And, the ACMs did a really great job this year. So,
yeah.
But next year, you better help Carly win, because I will be pissed. Because, once again, it was Marin Morris that did. And so, come on, people. 2 times in a row, then it was Casey Musgrave. Come on, give it to my girl. She deserves it. See, this is how I'm going to be doing the Emmys. Just to warn you, if they don't pick Laura and Mo and Steve and Eden, this is a new preview of what's to come for Emmy night. Why, Bobby?
I'm sure there's a few.
Bobby, you remember what I say on Emmy night?
Yeah.
A little number will help me. I like it. So I want to fly to California and have a very, very mobster talk with the Emmy board. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
I think I'm. I think I felt the same way last year about several people in Talk Real Alliance.
And I just want to say before we go, okay, we don't know who Frank could come back, but Kim Masterson also coming on DAs. My mind keeps going back to, okay, Cameron could play Drew, right? That could work. But there's another consideration that no one thought of but me. Okay, he could come back as his own character from All My Children, Ryan Lavery. And think about it, Duke Lavery, Ryan Lavery, and we find out that Anna and Duke had the Cameron, you know, had him, Ryan, and we never knew because in all, every, you know, they always wanted to do a crossover with that. And I think with Cameron coming to Central Hospital, I think there's got to be a Lavery tied in somewhere. Well,
yeah.
You know,
well,
this is the time to do it, you know, and I just want to say one thing about Zeno Hospital before we go. I want to say that I don't like Cameron right now. Cameron is pissing me off. You know, how dare you kill Josh, basically, that, you know, Jason is not family to her. Bullshit. Okay? Jason watched you Josh every time Lawson needed growing up and when he came back. And he did not kill stupid Franco. Okay? Peter did. Okay? Cameron, can you run this stupid guy in your thick skull? And how you talk to your little brother saying that his own father killed his stepfather? When people need to take a breath, clear eyes, it was Peter. It was Peter. It was Peter. It was Peter. It was not Jason. Okay, stop going for Jason on everything, people. And when Jack got shot, I was hoping that was permanent. But since it wasn't, then he better kill someone he's so funny, oh, I'm going to kill him. That is the only choice. So, yes.
Yeah.
So,
I thought something when you brought up the fact that Cameron managed to play Ryan on All My Children. This could, on General House, this could open up the possibility of Rebecca Betting coming back and playing, and maybe a Ryan Hayden pairing, just like you know, Ryan.
Well, yes, and okay. So
I mean,
worked
on both
people
for Maya and worked on both Carter and Maya for a while after they had chemistry on Guiding Light.
And so we're on tomorrow. We will go. Let everyone go, but we will be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, Nat, we will be back at 5, right?
Yes, 5 o'clock. Yep, 5 o'clock.
Okay, bye guys. Have a great night.
Bye,
bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye.